My joy and privilege to bring a Bible message for us this morning. First, a story. A deep knot had set in my stomach, and my nerves were turning. I could feel my pulse, it was pounding. I was starting to sweat, my hands were getting clammy. A panic had set in. I had lost my daughter. I was breathing heavy, my mind was racing, and I started to look around frantically, looking high and low. Where did she go? What happened? Where did my daughter go? You see, I had brought my kids to the bottle depot, my 5-year-old son, my 3-year-old daughter, and we were out for a fun morning of errands and just having fun with Dad, and we were bringing in the bottles and collecting our hard-earned money, and we're going to go get Slurpees and have a fun day together. And so in one moment, we were loading the bottles to the cashier at the till to get our refund, and in the next moment, she was gone. She was gone. Panic was setting in. Fear of the unknown was setting in. An uneasiness was in my heart. And 20 worst case scenarios were running through my mind. What happened? Was she kidnapped? Did someone take her? Did she run away? Is she okay? Will I see her again? All these questions racing through my mind. I threw up a prayer, almost threw up, but threw out a prayer of desperation and said, "Dear God, please help." And so my son and I, who was 5 at the time, we ran outside and started looking around the parking lot. We looked high and low, nearly in tears, searching for my daughter. And then there she was. She was hiding behind her van, poking her head out, giggling and laughing, half joyful, half angry, ran over, scooped her up, gave her a big hug. "What are you doing?" She thought it'd be funny to go and hide for a bit. Poor Dad suffered some good worry and anxiety there. Dad's worst nightmare, right? Losing your son or daughter. You know, now that I'm a parent of multiple children, and I talk to other parents of multiple children, I find that this actually happens a fair bit, losing kids when you're out with the whole gang. But I guess it's not a good experience, but it might happen to us. Join me in that moment, right before I found my daughter. Uneasiness, uncertainty, fear of the unknown. A deep worry was setting in. Have you been there? Have you been to that place that no one likes to go? A place called anxiety and worry. The distress or uneasiness of the mind caused by fear of danger and fear of misfortune. Maybe you're in a challenge recently that is causing uneasiness or distress. This morning, are you worried about something? Well, we're in a sermon series called Living Worship. And the big idea is this, is that worship is loving God with all of yourself in every disappointment, in every hardship, in every victory, in every joyful moment, living with all abandon for God and the King of Kings and for Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. You see, in this person, we will see a beautiful picture of living worship. But it didn't start there. It was a journey of trust. It was a journey that actually started in some worry, and from worry to acceptance, and from acceptance to adoration. So let's go on the journey together this morning. a journey through worry to worship. It's a journey that we need to take to be fully alive in Jesus. First, let's pray. Dear God, thanks for this opportunity to open your word, to open your message, and to hear from you this morning. Thank you for your promises that are always true. Thank you for the firm foundation that you put us on, God, and that's you. So this morning, God, as I speak, I pray that you'd speak through me and help us to receive your message, to put it into practice, and like Nancy said, to be obedient to your word, Jesus. Illuminate the text for us this morning. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles here, let's open to Luke chapter 1. And Luke chapter 1, it details Mary's journey of trust. And so if you got the Pew Bible in front of you, it's on page 710. And we're going to start in verse 26. And we're going to read 26 to 34. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words." That's where the worry starts. "And wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.'" And 34 will stop. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." You see, Mary's anxiety, it starts in verse 29. It says Mary was greatly troubled. You know, the Bible, it gives us a portrait of what Mary's life would have been like from the Gospels. And we know that Mary would have been young. She would have been an early teenager, maybe 12 or 14 and 16, or 16. And we know that she was pledged to be married to Joseph. You see, in that day, in that culture and custom, the Jewish culture, a woman would have been pledged to be married to a man, and it was a binding engagement. It was an engagement that could only be broken by death or by adultery. That was the only way to break that engagement. It was a binding contract. We also know that Mary was likely from a poor family. She was of poor descent, lower class. And even some scholars guess that maybe she didn't even have a family. Maybe she was an orphan. And so the mighty angel Gabriel is talking to this woman. And the angel from God puts an incredible call on Mary's life. "Mary, you will become pregnant with the Son of God." Whoa. "You will give birth to the Messiah." Ooh. It's an incredible plan and call that God is putting on Mary's life. And we can well guess that Mary's anxiety, Mary's worry begins. I mean, imagine a deep sinking feeling washing over Mary. She might be thinking, "I'm going to be pregnant already?" Maybe she's thinking, "Will Joseph still accept me? Will I be an outcast? Will I be viewed with scandal? And on the other side, I'm going to raise the Messiah? Like, what if I lose him in the market? Or what if he wanders off? What will happen?" Imagine the worry that Mary would have faced. She was potentially going to be viewed as a scandal. Mary would have worried. Fear of the unknown. Obstacles too big to overcome. Mary is in the place of anxiety. You see, we've often been in that place, haven't we? And for some of you who know some of the journey that we've been on, my wife and I, 2 years ago, we went on a journey from growing our family from 2 children to 4 children. We were going to have twin boys. Very exciting. And it was good right up till our sons were born. So our first son came out, Roman, and he was healthy, and we were excited. And then our second son came out, and he wasn't quite so healthy. We soon found some health problems. Our excitement soon turned to worry. Our excitement soon turned to anxiety. And so our son, who was only 4 pounds and a few days old, was having major surgery to save his life. And my wife and I, we were in that place of unknown. We were in that place of uncertainty. What's going to happen? Is he going to live? Will we have a son? The worry and fear had crept in. So how about you today? What obstacles are you facing? We all face them. Are you feeling anxious today? Did you come here with a specific burden? Perhaps you are facing something unexpected that you did not plan for. Maybe you're about to be a parent for the first time. Or maybe you're thinking, what will it be like to have our first kid? Will he grow up and be healthy, or she? Or maybe in this last year, your world as you know it got turned upside down. Are you facing a challenge that is beyond you this morning? Or maybe God is leading you to a new journey and it seems backwards or counterproductive to your plan or idea. Now, some of you get stuck too often in the place of worry. Some of you get stuck in that place of anxiety. And note this morning, we're not talking about clinical anxiety, but we're talking about that uneasiness of the unknown or the challenge that might be ahead. And you see, God has plans to lead us through this if we trust him. So let's go back to Mary's story and see how it turns out. Let's go back to verse 34, chapter 1, verse 34 to 38. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is already in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail. And Mary's reply, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. You see, the angel Gabriel, he came on the scene and said, Mary, we've got a totally different change of plans here. You thought your life was going this way, and now it's going to go this way. But you will be pregnant, and you will give birth to the Messiah. You were not expecting this, but God is going to use you for his great purpose. Now get this morning. Notice something with me, is that Mary doesn't ask, why me? She didn't refuse, and she didn't doubt, but she inquires, okay, how will this word from God come to pass? And for some reason, Mary is able to move from anxiety to acceptance. Mary comes to the simple acceptance. She doesn't worship, but she comes to the simple place of trust. A trust that God is good. A trust that what God has planned is okay. A trust that God will be with her. You see, there must have been something in that conversation with the angel that affirmed Mary, that helps her take that step to move to acceptance. Perhaps it's the angel affirming her. What God says will come to pass. Perhaps it's the angel affirming Mary. You are highly favored. Something within Mary has moved for her to say, may your word to me be fulfilled. You see, here's the reality The reality is that this place of acceptance and trust, taking that step from worry to acceptance in what God is doing, that's often the place of surrender. It's often the place of putting down the my plan, putting that down and saying, okay, God, what do you have planned? It's not necessarily joyful, and it's often not with enthusiasm that we do that. That's just the reality. But it's a simple letting go. It's a simple getting out of that driver's seat and saying, God, you have the driver's seat, and I'm going to be the passenger for where you want to take me. You see, I mentioned the journey that my wife and I went on. And so it was December 25th, 2014, and my son was having major surgery, Christmas Day. And I remember sitting in that waiting room, waiting for the surgeon to do his work, to hopefully explore, but hopefully find and remedy what was happening with my infant son, who was just 6 days old. And I remember sitting in the waiting room, and something within me had to break as I wrestled with God and fought with God. And eventually, something in my heart broke, and I came to that spot and said, okay, God, whatever you have planned, whether my son makes it or he doesn't, I'll trust you in this. It wasn't joyful, but it was acceptance. God, see it through. Are you tracking with me so far? Maybe this year your business plans or personal plans have changed or fallen apart. Maybe you've had a dream and God is changing that dream and you're thinking, what's going on? What's going on? Maybe it's even something happening in your life right now that you don't want. Maybe God is calling you to do something. And as you sit and think about that, it brings anxiety. And whatever you're facing this morning, are you willing to take that first step of trust to move from anxiety to acceptance? And like Mary, this is the first step to take. But here's the good news, is that God has much more planned for us than just accepting the work that he's doing. He wants us to move ahead. He wants us to be able to move to that place of worship. So let's return to the story of Mary. Let's investigate and see what was the tipping point for Mary to move from acceptance to adoration. How did Mary move into living worship? Let's look at verses 39 to 46 in your text. I'll read it out. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home. That's her aunt, or that's her uncle, and she's visiting her aunt and uncle. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." You see, notice something with me about this passage, is that when Mary goes to Elizabeth, she doesn't condemn Mary. Instead, the Spirit uses the opportunity to speak through Elizabeth. The Spirit affirms and encourages Mary. Elizabeth says, "Mary, you're blessed. Mary, blessed is she who believes in what God is saying." In other words, Mary, you're so lucky that God would choose you and want to work through you. And somehow, Elizabeth's word and support helped Mary embrace the work that God is doing. You see, on this journey that Mary would have taken to go visit her aunt and uncle, it was a 3 or 4 day walk to get there. And on that walk, she would have had time to kind of think a bit about what God had said to her and mull it through in her own mind. We can safely assume that God was doing a work in her heart at that time to help her move and take the next step. And you know, I imagine that on that walk, Mary would have been reflecting on the promises of God or the times in her life where God had already been faithful. Perhaps Jeremiah 29:11 was running through Mary's mind. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future." And so through the Spirit's work of encouraging Mary and through Mary's reflection on God's promises, Mary is able to embrace what God is doing. You know, Nancy mentioned earlier the promises of God, and that's exactly what I mentioned, or what I believe Mary would have been doing as she was walking to visit her aunt and uncle, reflecting on the promises of God. So people of Mission Creek, how well do you know the promises that God has for you? Two come to mind for you today. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind can conceive the things God has prepared for those who love him." Romans 8, verse 28. "And we know in all things that God works for the good." That's right. God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called to his purpose. I know I shared some of the anxiety that my wife and I faced when we had our twin boys and when we were faced with major health complications. And so something in that waiting room happened where I had to break down and say, "Okay, God, whatever happens, I trust you, whether my son makes it through, whether he doesn't make it through, I'm going to take that step from worry and anxiety to acceptance." And that wasn't necessarily joyful, but as we keep journeying, God asks to take the next step, which is moving from acceptance to adoration. And so here's the reality that's been happening since then in my life, is that something is changing in our hearts. Something is changing in my heart to move from acceptance to adoration, to embrace the work that God is doing. As we know the promises of God, that God is faithful, and there's people in our life who remind us of the promises of God, that regardless of even now, we still face challenges that often revolve around my youngest son with his health, and development. People in our life affirming the promises of God, that children are a blessing, that God loves you, God has a plan for you. And what happens is it's a tipping point that helps us move from acceptance to adoration, being able to adore what God is doing in our lives. And joy is breaking through. So let's turn it back to you. Here's the hard and honest question today. Is if you're willing to take that step from anxiety to acceptance, are you willing to take that step from acceptance to adoration? Maybe this is another step of faith for you this morning. Maybe the obstacle in your life right now is something that God wants to lead you through. Could it be that his circumstances in your life right now are there to bring about God's character in you? It's the embrace of this work that will result in joy. It's this step that we need to take to move into living worship. So what does it look like for Mary to live out worship and take this step? What does it look like for Mary to step into living worship? And remember, at this point, she's still facing all the unknowns. She doesn't know if her pledged husband will stick with her or ditch her. She doesn't know if she'll face scandal. She doesn't know what it's going to be like to raise the Messiah or raise children. But let's look. Let's look at verse 46 and see what God has done in Mary's heart. Verse 46 to 55. "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Living worship. Do you see it? Mary sings, God is faithful. Mary sings, God provides. Mary sings, God is merciful to those who look to him. Do you get it? Mary's worship comes from the character of God. It's nothing to do with her or her circumstances. The source of Mary's worship is God. People of Mission Creek, through your circumstances, through the trials you face, God is leading you on a journey. It's a journey of trust. It's a journey that takes one step at a time, and along the road, you'll have to move from anxiety to acceptance, to putting down the flag and saying, God, what do you have planned? And from there, God will lead you to the next step, a step that we often don't take. It's a step to adoration, to saying, God, you are good. No matter what is going on, I can still trust you, and God will show his faithfulness. Like Mary, God has a plan of salvation for you. It's for you, it's for your friends, it's for your neighbors, and beyond. And like Mary, God wants to do great things through you. Like Mary, God wants you to trust him. And what results is real, living worship in all of life, in the hard times, in the good times, in the disappointments, in the success, knowing that we can worship and be connected to God. This morning, I want to call the worship team back up. And as they do, I just want to have a real practical suggestion on how to make Mary's story your story. How do we make this our story of moving from anxiety to acceptance and acceptance to worship? First off is to center Jesus in the middle of your life and let him rearrange all the pieces. And I'm going to be honest, that's a bit painful sometimes. But it's good, because from that, when we're rooted in Jesus, you will have abundant life in your day-to-day. First, do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'd love to talk to you this morning. We'll have opportunity after the service. And second, if you know Jesus, decide today to say yes to whatever he's going to call you to this week. Decide today to put your trust in Jesus for whatever obstacle that's coming and you're facing or wrestling with. Point number two, real key practical taking point, Nancy mentioned that, like that, is to look at God's word and know his promises to you. Take the Bible off the shelf, reading it, know the promises to you. Often when I read the American History of the Bible, I like to give a really practical tool, because often you open up the Bible and realize there's Old Testament tables are dying, New Testament promises, and where do you start? So I like this guide. It's an Arabian text reading guide. It's really simple. Every day you look at the date, and it says, Sunday, read Psalm, and read a chapter in this, and a chapter in Luke. And every day it gives you a prayer and a reflection. Or you can use the daily bread, something like that. Use a Bible reading tool. And as you read the Bible, ask, God, what are you saying to me today? And God, what do I need to do about it, what you're saying to me? One other thing I recommend is this to all the families out there. This is called Seeds Family Worship. Now, I'll be honest, this is something my wife bought, and I said, why did you buy that? And then I had to listen to it, and then I had to say, I'm sorry, that was a good purchase. But anyways, this is a music CD for kids and for families and really anyone. And what they do is they take the actual verse of the Bible and they make a song only using the words from that Bible verse. and it's good music. It's actually good. I listen to it, I go for walks, and it reminds me to reflect on God's promises. And finally, the last key application, you know, God speaks to us through his word, is to pray. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, that's how we're going to end. We're just going to create a little bit of space for some reflection and prayer, and then the worship team is going to lead us from there. Thank you.